Well, this is the one you've been waiting for. Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, our final draft preview for one of the most consequential and fascinating drafts in Vikings history, maybe in NFL history. He's Jeff Diamond, again, former Vikings general manager, former president of the Tennessee Titans. This is TalkNorth.com, best way to listen to this show or any show you like on the network, including the Viking Update show, which I also recommend. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. We are brought to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio and by our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore, WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com. Also, my friend Scott Dayton out at Twill in the Edina Galleria is having a Johnny O trunk show August 26th and 27th. Check it out. Buy three Johnny O products. Get one free. Great stuff. I wear it all the time. All right. We are talking here on the eve of the draft. Jeff, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you start talking about this draft?
Quarterbacks. That's about all we've been talking about for the last 4 months, it seems. And yet there are a ton of great players at other positions too. And unfortunately for the Vikings, if they trade up into the top four or five and use those two first round picks, they won't have another pick until the fourth round, where they have 2/4 and 2/5. And that's a long wait. I've been through that before, where you're missing an entire round. I'm not sure I ever sat through missing two rounds, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they try to trade up into the third round by trading a pick from 2025, for example. But the quarterbacks have really dominated the discussion, especially here locally, with a team that needs a quarterback. And as we've been talking repeatedly about, I just don't see the Vikings wanting to hitch their wagon to Sam Darnold at this point in time, other than in a backup role or maybe as a bridge starter towards a young quarterback getting his feet wet, such as J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. So that's what's really going to be intriguing come draft night. It's going to be exciting. I think, as you said, it's one of the most anticipated drafts in recent Vikings history, at least, in terms of having this quarterback need that hasn't been in place really probably since Christian Ponder was drafted, which didn't turn out so well, as we know. So I think it's really going to be a fascinating first round, especially early first round, unless the Vikings can get the trade done to move up into the top four before the draft. But I don't know if that's going to happen. It may happen while Arizona is actually on the clock. They may try to squeeze the Vikings and Denver and potentially Las Vegas, maybe even the Giants in the mix, although I think that's a lot of smoke on the Giants. I still think Daniel Jones, he's got a ton of dead money. He's going to be the starter this year. And let's not forget, he had a pretty good 2022 season, including beating the Vikings here in a playoff game. So the quarterbacks are going to dominate, and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels will be the first two off the board, and then we'll see what shakes out from there. But I think it's going to be a really exciting night, and we'll see if the Vikings, if they end up staying at 11 and 23, they're going to get two really good position players, including potentially maybe one of the lower-rated quarterbacks, but still first or second-round caliber, talking about Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix. So it's going to be an exciting night come Thursday night, as it usually is.
And the real question here is, what would the price be if they decide to move up, and is that price something they can stomach? And, you know, I wrote about it the other day. I mean, J.J. McCarthy has become, you know, he went from being like a guy who might be taken in the second round to being consensus fourth quarterback off the board, meaning he could go in the top four. And I just don't know if you can give up three high draft picks for a guy who didn't throw the ball much in college.
Yeah, he's certainly athletic enough, and he's got a good enough arm, and we know he's a winner, but there are question marks, as there really are with virtually every quarterback coming out of college, and that's why it is such a kind of a scary proposition to draft a quarterback in the first round, as we know historically, with all kinds of players, whether it's the Bears passing up Patrick Mahomes and taking Mitchell Trubisky back in 2017, or going back to Ryan Leaf after Peyton Manning way back when. And so it's just very, very difficult, I think, on GMs when you're drafting a quarterback to have that utmost confidence, unless it's just a clear-cut number one. And I'm not even sure Caleb Williams falls in that category for me. He didn't have as good a 2023 season as he did in 2022. I think there's a lot of ego going there. And I'm not sold on him yet either. So it's going to be fascinating. I think the latest cautionary tale on drafting first-round quarterbacks to me, Jim, kind of hit home this week when Zach Wilson got traded by the Jets to Denver, number two overall pick in 2021. There were five first-round quarterbacks in 2021. Only one, Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick, remains with the team that drafted him. Number two, Zach Wilson, he's gone from the Jets to Denver. He was basically a washout in New York. Number three, Trey Lance, did nothing in San Francisco, got traded to Dallas. Number 11, Justin Fields. I think he played pretty well from time to time in Chicago, but they got rid of him, traded him for whatever, a fourth-round pick or something to Pittsburgh with Caleb Williams in mind. And then you had number 15, Mac Jones from that draft, traded from New England to Jacksonville. That's not a real good track record for first-round quarterbacks, especially from 2021. Now, last year, a little different. At least C.J. Stroud looks like a pure franchise quarterback in Houston. But Bryce Young, the number one overall pick, and Stroud was number two. Bryce Young struggled in his rookie year without a great supporting cast. And Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis at number four, he got hurt in week four. So the jury's still out on him and on Bryce Young. So it is definitely a crapshoot with quarterbacks, but it almost isn't in any position unless you're drafting just an all-time great player such as whoever an Andrew Luck or whoever a pure number one player is, Aaron Donald with the Rams. But he was a middle first-round pick, I think, back when he was picked. So it's going to be interesting. If the Vikings do sit at 11 and 23, they could get maybe the top corner off the board. It could be Terrion Arnold. It could be Quinion Mitchell. They could get the top edge rusher. It could be Dallas Turner from Alabama. And then they could use that 23rd pick, perhaps, as I said, on Penix or Nix. We don't know what they're thinking. They're not tipping their hand other than the fact that I think the telltale sign to me, Jim, was when they acquired that extra first-round pick. That indicated really to me, and I think to the entire league, that the Vikings were determined to move up to that top four or five spot and be able to draft one of those top quarterbacks. And they may not be able to risk going to five at the Chargers. They probably have to get to four at Arizona.
And it'll be interesting to see if Arizona really trades that pick. As Mark Craig pointed out, our football writer, your friend, as he pointed out in his piece today, the Cardinals already have a lot of picks, and they have a chance to take Marvin Harrison Jr. at four. Are you sure they trade down, or do the Vikings have to deal with Harbaugh?
Yeah, and that could well be the case. And if they don't, if Arizona's determined to take Harrison Jr., then it could be dealing with Harbaugh, and which I think the Chargers would be willing to make that move for the extra draft capital. And I think it's going to cost those two first-round picks and probably a third or fourth rounder next year. I wouldn't pay more than that to move up, but I don't think Kwesi will either. I think that he values those first-round picks as he should. And to give more than two first-round picks to move up whatever, six spots, no. I think that you throw in maybe a fourth rounder, and I think that should get the deal done. And then they could make that work. And Harbaugh is not going to want to deal with Denver in the same division either. So I think that gives the Vikings a potential advantage there if Arizona is determined to sit at four.
So you said you don't think the Giants will move up. I tend to agree with you. How big a threat are the Raiders and the Broncos as trading competitors?
I think the Broncos are definitely a threat. And the Raiders, too. I think they've got all their picks. And Denver is in a situation where they've got Jarrett Stidham as their projected starter. I don't think Sean Payton wants to go there. But maybe Sean Payton's thinking he can get a Bo Nix at 12 or a Penix Jr. and not have to trade up and give up more draft capital for the future. So, but I do think the Broncos are a threat. And I think we talked about this last week. I think a potential chip on a bargaining chip there is Patrick Surtain, their all-pro corner, who's going to have a $20 million cap number next year in 2025. And the Broncos are sitting there with that major deadly dead money hit on Russell Wilson of $85 million over the next 2 years, a record dead money hit. And so certainly Surtain could be a guy that they may figure, okay, we can let him go as part of a trade up for a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract and save that big money on a corner and then go draft a guy in the second round or whatever if they move up in the first. So it's going to be, I think, as I said, just really shapes up as a very interesting draft night whenever you got quarterbacks involved. I think another piece of the equation, Jim, is the 2025 draft is not shaping up as quite as strong of a quarterback draft at all. In fact, a lot of people are thinking it looks more like the 2022 draft when there was only, I think, one quarterback taken in the first round. And so it's that, I think, puts a little more pressure on teams such as the Vikings, who need a young quarterback, a potential franchise quarterback. And the other thing we know, free agency has not been offering a lot of top quality quarterbacks. When you think Kirk Cousins was the premier quarterback in free agency this year. And Kirk was, I think Kirk's a very good quarterback, but maybe he's bottom of the top 10, maybe top 10 to top 12 quarterback in the league. He's not Mahomes or Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert, those caliber of quarterbacks. So those guys don't hit the market. Now, maybe Dak Prescott will next year, but if you sign one of those guys in free agency, it's going to cost you $55 million or $60 million a year if Prescott doesn't get his deal done with Dallas. And so it's really, I think, challenging in the quarterback world these days when your choices are sign a free agent for huge money or draft a young quarterback that you're not really sure about. It's ultimately what it boils down to, Jim, is you got to pick the right one. And I think that's where Kwesi is trusting Kevin O'Connell to identify that quarterback that he can develop. And I have some confidence. I have a fair level of confidence in Kevin O'Connell to develop a young quarterback, because I think Kirk Cousins had his best seasons of his career under O'Connell.
Right. No, very well put. All right. I'm going to ask you next, what if the Vikings just find all the trade offers to be ridiculous and they can't move up? What do they do then? First, though, we want to thank our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Always love to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, my great friend, owner Paul Rubin, general manager Charlie Guttrell, and their fantastic staff, Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. You will see 1.9% APR for 36 months, plus a $750 purchase allowance and a $2,500 trade assistance on 2023 and 2024 GM Sierra 1500s, 0.9% APR and a $2,750 purchase allowance on 2023 Buick Envisions, 0.9% APR and $1,500 purchase allowance on 2024 GMC Terrains. No monthly payments for 90 days on all these great vehicles, and the world's first all-electric super truck, the GMC Hummer EV pickup and SUV. The White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 van superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. Visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience, Buick GMC. We are professional grade.
Also want to thank our longtime sponsor across the network, Twill in the Edina Galleria, Scott Dayton Shop. Again, Johnny O trunk sale, April 26th and 27th. Buy three, get one. I wear that stuff all the time. Go check it out. TwillMN.com for more information, location, everything else. All right. So Kwesi has hinted that there are prices he will not pay. He starts negotiating to move up. He cannot find a deal that he doesn't find ridiculous. What do they do then?
Then they sit at 11 and 23 and get two really good players, potentially two defensive starters. Or I think in that case, they may, and it may be a little bit of a reach for a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix Jr., and take one of those guys maybe at 23. And as I said, at 11, maybe take the top edge rusher, Dallas Turner, if he's still there, or the top corner could be Terrion Arnold of Alabama, Quinion Mitchell of Toledo, Nate Wiggins of Clemson could go 23 if they end up jumping up and taking one of those other quarterbacks at 11. So, and he may just take a risk that McCarthy or May would fall to 11. I don't think they're going to make it that far. I think someone's going to move up for one of those guys or both those guys. And I think one of those guys could easily go at number 3 to New England. And so it's going to certainly, as I said, it's a challenging situation because Arizona is in the catbird seat at 4. And as we discussed, if they are determined to take Marvin Harrison Jr. and they think he's their next Larry Fitzgerald Jr., then certainly they would do that because they do have another first-round pick. They have other picks high in the draft. So it's going to be, as I said, just a really fascinating draft night. I love draft time, going back to my career as a GM and thinking about players such as Randy Moss that we gutted out drafting him in the first round back in 1998, and even some of the tougher draft night calls that we had to make, such as when we passed on Warren Sapp with all the alleged drug rumors out there and took Derek Alexander. And that one didn't turn out as well for us because Sapp ended up being a great player. Alexander was a good quality starter for us, but that was one that potentially we missed on to a certain extent. But I also think about all the late round picks and the good players that were taken in later rounds and even undrafted players. And you and I talk often, I often talk about John Randall, who went undrafted in 1990, and I signed him for $5,000 as an undrafted free agent. He ends up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I always say this, whenever I went into a draft room as a GM or a team president, I would tell our scouts and coaches, there are great players and Pro Bowl players in every round, and that's what we need to do. We need to identify these players who can step in and become starters, and especially at players such, it could be an offensive guard in the fourth round that's underrated or a corner who develops. And so I think that's the challenge of the draft, the excitement of the draft. And even though some of those rounds can get a little long and boring, but it certainly creates the energy and excitement. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of excitement in Detroit if the weather is decent.
Yes. When did the draft, in your eyes, go from being this kind of weird little thing that people didn't cover very intensely to being the speculation spectacle that it is now?
Yeah, I think it was probably around towards the mid and late 90s when ESPN came in play and became more of a force at that point. I mean, I think they started earlier than that, but they really, then they started carrying the draft, and it was even back in the 80s with ESPN, but then NFL Network came aboard, and then you started to have the draft move around. There never used to be draft central in different cities, and I think that helped elevate the excitement level when it was held in different towns around the country, and 50,000 people would gather just for what seems to be not such an exciting event. It became an exciting event, and it became an extravaganza. I think also the media proliferation over the years. I remember, Jim, back in when I started in the league working in PR with Merrill Swanson of the Vikings back in the late 70s, and we used to hold the draft at the Holiday Inn in Bloomington in a basement meeting room, and the only two people that were there with us for the vast majority of the draft were the beat guy from the Star Tribune and the beat guy from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. It was Ralph Reed from Pioneer Press in those days, and some rotating guys at the Star Trib. And I don't think you were at the Holiday Inn ever, but
no, but my first. It's funny, Jeff. My first draft here was the draft where you gave away all your picks for Herschel Walker. I think your first pick was like fourth round or something. And I still remember sitting down that tiny little media room at Winter Park. And me, yes. And I think it was probably me and Greg Wong or Ray Richardson. And, you know, basically after you guys took your pick, Frank and Jerry would just walk down to the basement and Greg and I would walk out there. There was a bag of chips and we just sit there and talk to Frank and Jerry until we had ran out of questions. They go back upstairs. That was the whole deal.
Yeah, exactly right. And back in the day, Bud Grant would pop into the Holiday Inn on his way home. I don't even think Red Cow and Gilliam even talked to the media those days. So it was just kind of such a different event. And now today, of course, with all the websites and all the broadcast media and many more media people covering, and now draft parties are held at stadiums, and the Vikings will have theirs at U.S. Bank Stadium. And so, yeah, it's just changed tremendously over the years. And I think the main reason is the much greater media coverage.
Let's go back to, you know, the other thing that's changed is the size of NFL staffs and scouting organizations. And these are very large organizations now. They were not large organizations back then. Do you think John Randall would have gone undrafted today?
I think he may have, because part of the reason was he weighed 240 pounds when they had his testing period and he was playing at Texas A&I,
yep,
which later became Texas A&M Kingsville. So he's playing at a small school. Now, he had a brother who played in the NFL for the Bucks, which should have put him a little higher on the radar. But John was very undersized, and by the time he came to training camp, because he was tested back like in January or early February, and he was going through an intense weightlifting program, and he'd put on 20, 25 pounds by the time he got to training camp, and eventually ended up playing, I think, more at 275, 280 compared to the 240. So he may well have fallen through the cracks back in those days, as other players do too. And even a Brock Purdy a couple of years ago, well, he's the last pick in the draft. He could have easily been an undrafted player. And here he takes the 49ers to the Super Bowl. So as I said, players sometimes develop at different rates, and sometimes players fall through the cracks, and especially when they come from smaller schools. But I think you're right. The scouting staffs have grown so much, and the information out there is so much greater that it's hard for really talented players to not be discovered. And back in the day, teams such as Dallas would hide players that they wanted to sign as free agents. They would get them, they'd take them away, and they say, "Don't answer your phone." And so it's just kind of crazy how things have changed.
No doubt about it. All right, one more topic for today. Again, Jeff and I will be doing a post-draft show. So, you know, we'll also do a post-draft Viking update show. Check out all of our other shows, including John Krasinski's doing great stuff on the Timberwolves and their playoff run right now. We have Dawn of Sports doing a great show. We had Minnesota Roar's new athletic director on recently. We have John Millay on Preps, Roy Smalley and Lavelle on the Twins. Great stuff at TalkNorth.com. We have a lot of outdoor content as well. Mike Grimm on the Gophers. Check it all out. Again, if you like a show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. For today, last topic, we've talked a lot about what will Arizona do it for, what will Chargers do at five, who will trade up. What do you expect the new Patriots regime to do at three?
Yeah, they're making a lot of noise about open for business, and this is Elliot Wolf, the great GM Ron Wolf from the Packers. His son is now running the draft as the GM in New England, new coaching staff there after Belichick. So they're an interesting team to think about what they may want to do, and they could be a potential team to want to trade out of that spot. So maybe it's not all smoke coming out of New England that Elliot Wolf would move down, and the Vikings could perhaps go all the way up to three, and then that would give him a shot at either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, most likely. So that's really interesting, New England. I still think they take a quarterback. They've got Jacoby Brissett that they signed, and he could certainly be a good bridge guy, especially for a guy like McCarthy who doesn't have as much experience, perhaps, as Drake May. But I think New England is definitely a team to watch at three, even though I think they'll take a quarterback, and then the draft really starts at four with Arizona, and they're the team that is in the capper seat, and we'll see. And we'll see if they do take Harrison Jr. or maybe Malik Nabers is their guy. So that will be interesting to see how that all unfolds too. All part of the excitement of draft night. And as you said, we're all relieved that it's almost here after so much conversation really since January.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, and the speculation gets a little weird and wild, but there's so many possibilities on the table. That's what's going to make it a fascinating draft night. Great stuff from Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. For Jeff Diamond, for our producers at TalkNorth.com, coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios, I'm Jim Suhan. We'll talk to you soon about what the Vikings actually do.